Hare Krishna. Reading from my glorious master, Honolulu, Hawaii, 1976. A beloved lost son, visits home. Govinda Dasi and Gosinda had opened the first temple in Honolulu in 1969. After a few years of struggle, the temple began to flourish. By the end of 1973, however, ISKCON Hawaii fell apart. Gosinda abandoned his wife and sold the temple. Prabhupada questioned what had happened to the money from the sale of the building, but Gosinda remained aloof from both Prabhupada and the movement. Although remaining always affectionate, Prabhupada heavily criticized Gosinda. In 1976, Gosinda visited Prabhupada for the first time in more than 2 years. I was not in the room during Gosinda's darshan with Prabhupada, but when Gosinda came out of Prabhupada's room, his heavy brow seemed even heavier. I asked him what Prabhupada had said. He answered, "Don't try to become guru prematurely. You should serve your guru." My comment. Prabhupada had long ago analyzed Gosinda's problem. I remember him mentioning it to me in 1974 when we were together in Hong Kong. Prabhupada now had the opportunity to give the same analysis directly to Gosinda, a premature, possibly lethal desire to become guru. An actual guru always remains the servant of his own guru and the predecessor acharyas. Attempting to become a guru without one's own guru's order is a materialistic ambition. Accepting followers and circumventing one's own guru is offensive. Prabhupada implored Gosinda to rectify this serious fault in his Krishna consciousness and humbly return to the shelter of his spiritual master. 1 year later, when Gosinda visited Prabhupada in Vrindavan, Prabhupada conversed with Gosinda with great affection, like a lost son who had returned home. Prabhupada said, "Why not stay here for some time? So what are your activities now?" Gosinda said, "In Hawaii, we have Radha Krishna deities and bathing deity worship and reading your books." Prabhupada, "Very good." Gosinda, "Feast program." Prabhupada, "May Krishna help you. How many inmates are there?" Gosinda, "Right now, there's about one dozen people on the farm, and on Sundays, maybe 40, 50 people coming for feast." Prabhupada, "Very good. You are my old disciple. So I'll be very pleased if you keep the principles. It doesn't matter wherever you live and spread Krishna consciousness, wherever you feel happy. And do not forget the real business, because you are maintaining the temple as private. So make nice clothes, decorations, deity a small Krishna or big Krishna, the same thing. When Krishna was a child on the lap of his mother, the same Krishna killed Putana. And when he was killing other demons in his young age, the same, Avyaya. He does not change, Achyuta. These are the names of Krishna, so it does not make any difference. So you have got small deity, very nice. So you can bathe them nicely, decorate them nicely, give them, and big deity will be difficult to handle. Better keep this deity and increase the devotion. More time devoted for taking class, for cleansing. About Srimad Bhagavatam, consider. That is main business. Archayam eva haraye pujam ya sradayan chate natad bhakteshu chanyeshu sa bhakta prakritim smita. If you simply worship the deity in gorgeous way and do not preach, see to the interest of devotees and other common men, then you remain in the prakriti stage, material stage. You should go further. See the interests of ordinary people, how they are understanding Krishna consciousness. Tad bhakteshu, to give worship to the guru and honor them, simply to worship the deity is material platform. Grihasthas, we want this preaching. In Hawaii, where you are living, that is quite comfortable. Gosinda, it is in the country. Prabhupada, seaside. Gosinda, a few miles up on the side of the mountain, about 1,000 feet elevation. Prabhupada, all the inmates, they are following rules and regulations? Gosinda, oh yes, yes. Prabhupada, that's nice. No intoxication? Gosunda, no intoxication. Prabhupada, he chuckles, he laughs. Be intoxicated with Krishna. Medicine for uniting the factions. The devotees in the outside faction live separately from the temple, preferring to practice their sadhana at home. The other faction, the temple devotees, stress temple life and group living. Prabhupada, of course, did not say that devotional service could only be performed while living in the temple. But he did insist that all devotees strictly followed the rules and regulations given by their spiritual master. Prabhupada encouraged temple life because the temple routine makes it easy to both follow sadhana and associate with devotees. Living in a temple strengthens a devotee's spiritual practices. Yet a temple has to be managed. There has to be efficient organization, maintenance of the building, and managerial headaches. Should or can an individual devotee avoid this and live alone if he has the spiritual strength to do so? And if not, why not? Prabhupada's morning Bhagavatam lectures help devotees understand what they would have to do to unite the factions in ISKCON, Hawaii. By listening closely to Prabhupada's message, I understood that although he was specifically addressing the Hawaiian situation, his words would create a spiritual revolution anywhere they were heard and applied. Compassion, the mood of Vaishnavas. Prabhupada, this is from Prabhupada's lectures. Prabhupada, that is Vaishnava. Prickett Maharaj is Vaishnava. He is very unhappy that so many living entities are rotting in a hellish condition of life. So he is asking, Aduneha, Mahabhaga, Yataiva, Narakan, Nara, Nanogra, Yatanan, Neyatanme, Vyakyatum, Arhasi. I'm very sorry that so many living entities are suffering. Is there any way to give them relief? That is Vaishnava. One who is not a Vaishnava sees another person as suffering and he doesn't care. Let him suffer. Society has come to that state. I heard from one of my disciples that here or in New York, if someone is killed on the road, no one will care. Is it a fact? Devotee, yes. Prabhupada, so we have to come to the stage of civilization. But Parikrit Maharaj is feeling compassion simply by hearing from Sukadeva Goswami that a person, if he commits sinful activities, he suffers. He's not even seeing, yet he feels compassion. How such a person can be delivered? That is the inquiry, that they are suffering from some sinful activities. How can they be saved? This is Vaishnava. Vaishnava means para dukkha dukhi. A Vaishnava is unhappy by seeing others' unhappiness. Personally, he has no unhappiness, like Nityananda Prabhu. Aha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, Kripa Balo Kanakoro, Ami Baro Dukhi. Nitya means eternally and Ananda means happy. So Nityananda has no unhappiness. He is happy personally, but because he knows that these drunkards, woman hunters, prostitute hunters will suffer very, very severely, so why not deliver them? This is Nityananda Prabhu. This is a Vaishnava. In your country, there is Lord Jesus Christ. When he was being crucified, still he was saying, my Lord, excuse them. They do not know what they are doing. This is Vaishnava. They are not unhappy themselves, and they can tolerate any unhappy position. They come to deliver so many fallen souls. And here, Prickett Maharaj, out of compassion, inquired from Sukadeva Goswami, these persons are rotting in hell. Is there any means to deliver them? Okay. Now I'll read the comment here. In this lecture, Prabhupada gave us an insight into his own mood, the mood of a compassionate Vaishnava. His description of Nityananda Prabhu's kindness to those addicted to intoxication and prostitution points to a need for a monsoon of mercy to inundate those living during Kali Yuga. Prabhupada hoped that we would become compassionate Vaishnavas, but if that was not possible, then we should become the servant of a compassionate Vaishnava. He did not want the devotees to remain aloof from the outside world. He wanted them to mend their differences and cooperate to actively and expertly preach Krishna's glories and Maya's kingdom. Okay, we shall end here. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.